Today's daf is daf hey, Masechet Yoma, and we're right at the bottom of Daled Amud Beis. Yesterday we determined that both Reb Shimon ben Lakish and Reb Yochanan must agree that by the Miluim, Kol HaKetuv Behem Ma'akev Behem, because we see that Reish Lakish asked on Reb Yochanan that if you seriously are going to learn out from Miluim, then why don't you say that the second Kohen would also require Parisha, because otherwise it would be Ma'akev. What good is it to be Metaken the Kohen and not to be Parish? Mafrishato. So the question, while we pointed that out, we also raised the machlokes about whether miluim kol hakatuv behem ma'akev behem, or whether only dvarim that are ma'akev l'dorot are ma'akev behem. Now there are surprisingly important issues, even though these things don't seem to be nogei l'dorot, surprisingly important issues that are actually involved in this sugya, because remember that the miluim actually also involves the death of the children of Aaron, not of Aviyu. And in their deaths, they were Makadosh, the Olamoid. And we know that the first machlokas that we ever find, the only machlokas really we find in the Torah itself, in terms of halacha, with Moshe Rabbeinu, is the question of the Soyer Shel Rosh Chodesh that was burned. The Soyer Shel Rosh Chodesh is something that is Nogea L'dorot, whereas everything else in the miluim is Nogea L'sha'a. And the whole argument with Moshe and Aaron revolved around that question, as to whether the miluim are to be looked at as something unique, and all of the dinim that apply to the miluim are unique to the miluim, or whether the dinim of the miluim have implications to issues of the Roladorot as well. And therefore, it's important to begin the discussion of that sugya. We're going to get to some of the elements later on. Begin the discussion of that sugya with an understanding that there are really two completely different things that are involved in the miluim. They're the application of what took place all the time throughout history on that particular day because of what day it happened to be, so to speak. And then there's the dinim of the miluim, qua miluim, which would have taken place no matter what the day was. So we found yesterday a machlokas about whether the din of ikuva in the miluim, is that a din that is unique to the elements that are nogea l'dorot, or does the ikuva, and we'll see where we learn ikuva from later on, but ikuva, that means to say that if you didn't do it, that the whole ceremony is batel and we'd have to do it over again properly, that the ikuva is only is on anything at all, even on those things that were not nogea l'dorot.
For the
miluim. Yeah, for the miluim.
At the time.
Hmm?
It only happened once.
Only happened once, correct. So, my benai. So the question is, we never clarified, but we mentioned the machlokas, but what exactly does it mean by saying things that we know generally would not be ma'akev? Fine, we don't pass. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that is, are not passing like this. But there was the raising of the man, the Amar, who said, it was Rabbi Hanina, it turned out, who said that only those things that are Ma'akev L'dorot are Ma'akev in the Miluim. But if we find, generally speaking, something's not Ma'akev L'dorot, it wouldn't be Ma'akev in the Miluim either. What precisely was it referring to? In other words, what are those issues that took place in the Miluim that are nonetheless L'dorot, not Ma'akev? And they keep occurring B'dorot, might be not. So we have here a number of different elements. Rav Yosef suggests that smicha ikibinayim. The question over here is the din of smicha, which is laying your hands on the korban. So liman diyama kolakatu bemakevem smicha makva. If you hold that everything is makev, so smicha is no different than anything else. But liman diyamar davar she'in makev l'dorot in makev behem. We know that smicha then would not be ma'akev. It's a nice thing to do, but if you don't do it, the korban would be kasher. How do we know that? L'dorot b'nolan d'lo ma'akva. Where do you get the idea that it's not ma'akev l'dorot? D'tanya. V'samach v'nirtza. It's interesting that here we find the Torah seems to be making kapara dependent on v'samach yado al rosh ha'olah, and then it says v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav, which would make it seem as if the nirtza lav l'chaper alav of a korban olah is dependent on the samach yado. But is that possible? Asks the Braita. Could we truly take the pasuk at its words to save us? Amach v'chiper. V'alo ein kapara ela bedam shenamar ki adam hu banefesh yechaper. The Torah makes a great point of saying that the kapara is dependent entirely on the maaseh damim of the carbon and not on anything else, including the smicha. So then, what is the meaning? Ma'atam adomer v'samach v'nirtza. It means she'im asa'a l'smicha she'yarei mitzvah ma'ale alav ha'katuv ki'ilu lo chiper, but actually v'chiper. Remember that there are two levels, particularly in kachim, which we spoke about a great deal in the Seder of kachim when we learned it. When it comes to kachim, we have two completely different levels of limudim, as opposed to almost all the Rishonim hold, as opposed to the rest of the Torah. The way we explained this was by recognizing that the one thing, turn it up or down? Yeah, the noise is not closed. Testing. Richie's not even here. Testing. Richie. Okay. The reason for this was because by kachim, as opposed to anywhere else, we need, first of all, a gilui milta, that what it is that we're doing has meaning. Anything else in the Torah, we're perfectly happy to say that the thing itself is the way it is. But kachim, remember, as the Rambam points out, we never have any right to suggest a nature of avoda, because a nature of avoda is always projection, it's always avodah zarah, unless there's a unique gilui in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in this kind of thing. Otherwise, it's ridiculous. What do we say? Bowing down, throwing blood. I mean, what possible meaning would that have except to a warped human psyche? So you first need a pasuk to tell me this is the way that one should be obeyed. The question is, does that mean that you have to do it that way? I mean, is it God telling you, yeah, you must do it? For that, we need a special gilui. Either, as the Gemara repeats many, many times, Shana alav hakatuv la'akev, that the Torah will repeat the nature of an avoda twice to make sure that we get the message that it can only be done this way. Or we need some kind of gilui in the pasuk, such as the word chok olam or something like that, to make it clear that this is an absolute. But if I'm not told that it's an absolute, then I view it only as a lechatchila. Therefore, comes along the Torah here to tell me, when it comes to the carbon oil, the samach alav, in order to take, we should say and know, this is a very valuable avodah. Like this, I would say the samach alav is an indication that it's something nice. But if it says lechaper, which we know can't mean literally lechaper, it must mean that there is a basic desire for this kind of thing. I want this to be ki'ilu lo kiper. If you didn't do this, although you kept the fundamental halacha, v'kiper, yes, you did your chovah. But remember, there's the other element in avodah of desiring to worship. You didn't do that. It wasn't the connection of the avodah. So it's as if there was no kapara, because there was no real ratzon. So that's v'nirtza alav lechaper. Nonetheless, technically speaking, kapara is dependent on other elements than whether we're playing toesies over here. I mean, it's footsies. I mean, the question is, did you do it? You did it. Okay, so you're yotze. See? All right, so here the Torah, when it comes to kachim, when it comes to avoda, the question of the intimacy and the ratzon is fundamental to the nature of avoda. Therefore, the Torah makes a fuss over it, which it wouldn't do by other mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs, it lets you know in general. There's a lishma, there's a shirlo lishma, there's the amount of kavana, there's the desire. But over here, it becomes part of the fundamental way which I'm moving. So we have this very strange idea. The Torah is trying to tell you, it's as if you weren't mechaper, but in reality, v'chiper. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak omer, tenufa ikibina. I'll give you another example. There were a lot of things that needed waving around in the milui. So leman di amar kol hakatuv ma'akev ma'akva, leman di amar davar she'ein ma'akev ledorot ein ma'akev behen. So then all of the tenufa would not be ma'akev uledorot minolon de lo ma'akev. How do we know that tenufa is not something on which kapora is dependent? Ditanya, we have very much the same idea. We have by the halacha of a dal, korban dal by the mitzorah. So it says over there that there's a chiyav of the tenufa. Keves achad, the asham litenufa lechaper, the tenufa lechaper alav. So it's the waving around in the air that brings kapara. The kitenufa lechaper talo in kapara lebadam shenemar ki adam hu banefesh lechaper. So only dam can be mechaper. So matam adlamer the tenufa lechaper. Again, to teach us how valuable the tenufa is. Shima sa'a, the tenufa shiare mitzvah. If you treat the tenufa like it's just leftovers, meaning you don't do it properly, ma'ale alav akatuv kilo lo kiper. The Torah looks at it as if you're not interested in what you're doing, but in fact, as long as you brought the dam of the asham v'chiper. Everybody agrees smicha is a chayva. The question is what smicha is mad. Rav Papa Amar, prishat shiva'a ikimina, which is how it got into our sugya in the first place. The question is whether this halacha of 7 days is a ma'akev. Siliman, the Amar Kalakatu Ma'ame, and I know what you're thinking. Where the heck do we have a prisha of shivas yamim for the rest of time? What is it referring to? We'll soon see that, in fact, there is such a halacha. So prisha shiva yikabina. So l'man d'yomer kolakatu ma'akev behem sema'akva. L'man d'yomer dover shen ma'akev l'dorot ena ma'akev behem. So that would mean when it comes to Yom Kippur, when it comes to the Parah Aduma, assuming that we learn it out of the Miluim, lo ma'akva. And how do we know l'dorot midol under lo ma'akva? Midekatani, matkinin. Again, this entire discussion seems to be based on an understanding that the nature of prisha, even when it's learned out of la'asot, l'chaper, is in fact only an esmachta, because otherwise it's a little bit silly. We're asking, what's the mocker? The mocker is the Mishnah. How's the Mishnah the mocker? I mean, we're looking for a raya from the pasuk, like we did with all the others. But if we understand, as Tosfos pointed out, that mi'ikar hadin, this is our understanding of the way it should be because of using the miluim as a prototype, then the only real basis that we have it is not the asmachta per se, but rather the Mishnah that defines this as being the correct usage of the prototype. Ravina Amar. Ravina says that ribui shiva u'mishicha shiva ikabinayim. You notice that during the entire 7 days of the miluim, we had the Kohen doing something, he was wearing his begadim, so we had to put on, that's the milu yadav, we had to put on the special shmoneh begadim of the Kohen Gadol, and we also did mishicha with the shemen ha-mishcha. So we poured the oil on his head, between his eyes, and so on. So this was done every single day for 7 days. Seems to be the way in which we make a Kohen inaugurated. We literally invest the Kohen by putting him in his vest, in his clothing, and that give, now that's the word, what the word investiture means. And we thereby give him his Kedusha. That investiture requires 7 days. And that Mashiach requires 7 days. I mean, that's our marker for it, isn't it? So, Liman, the Yomar Kalakatu Me'ma'akev Ben Ma'akva. Liman, the Yomar Dovashin, Ma'akev Ladorot, Ein Ma'akev Behem Lo Ma'akva. How do we know that the din of 7 days does not actually define the critical prerequisite for Kohen Gadol? Minolon de dor ma'akva, de tanya. V'chiper ha-kohen, asher yimshach oto, v'asher yimalei et yado l'chahen tachat aviv. Now, what is this all about? I mean, we're saying something that we already well know. Ma Talmud Lomar, why is the Pasuk telling us now that the Kohen that is going to do the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim has to be a Kohen Asher Yimashach Oto V'Asher Yimaleh Et Yadav L'Chayim Tachat Aviv? This is a Kohen that will be invested with his special begadim and that will have gone through the Mashiach process in order to take the place of his father or forefather Aaron. What is the purpose of telling this now? Obviously, it can't be here only to tell us the din that the avod of Yom Kippur has to be done with the Kohen Gadol. I mean, it says that at the opening. Bizot yavo Aaron el HaKodesh. It's clearly a reference specifically to Aaron. So what's the point of saying now that it's necessary to be a Kohen Gadol to do any of this? Lefi she'ne'emar. Here's the idea. Because we know back in the Miluim, where the Torah introduces the nature of the kahuna. Now here, I want you please to concentrate on the fact that there are many different versions of the Miluim. The Miluim actually begin in Parshat V'ata Tetzaveh, because it's back in Shmot, immediately after the description of the making of the Bigdei Kahuna, that then the Torah says, okay, now after you made them, here's what it is that you should be doing with them in order to make Aaron a Bon of Kodesh. So the original tzivui of the Miluim takes place in V'ata Tetzaveh. In Parshat Tzav, not coincidentally, in Vayikra, we have a repetition, a tri-repetition in a sense, because we have a repetition of what should be done. We have Moshe Rabbeinu calling Kol Yisrael together and telling them what he was told needs to be done, and then we have the actual doing of it. Now, there's slightly different versions in each one of these occasions, and the Gemara is now going to concentrate on the different versions to try to understand what those differences come to teach us. So going back, now here's the opening, really, opening shot in a complex sugya that tries to interrelate the various elements of the Miluim. And again, you see how much our sugya revolves around an understanding of the Miluim, an event that took place only once and yet seems to have application now to the entire way in which we understand the Chovot HaMishkan. So here it said back in the beginning when we were talking in Shmot about what to do. So it said over there, Shivat Yamim Yilbasham HaKohen Tachtav Libanav Asher Yavo El Ohel Moed L'Sharet BaKodesh. Now note the same words, HaKohen Tachat Aviv, as it says over here, HaKohen Tachtav Libanav. Clearly the reference here in Achrimot, because of this phraseology, the Kohen who stands in the place of his father, goes back to the first time that that phrase was used in Shmot in V'ata Tetzaveh, and it defines the nature of the Miluim. When we now talk about it there, it says 7 days. 7 days he shall wear it, so that would mean, in other words, Eini Ela Nitraba Shiva V'Nimshach Shiva. That would imply that he needs, really, a full 7 days in order to become a Kohen. Now, it doesn't say anything there about Nimshach Shiva, and the Gemara is going to say later, well, hold on a minute. Where'd you get that from? It says only there, who will be memaleit yadav. That means yil b'shem. So, nitraba shiva v'nimshach yom echad. I mean, is the shiva really important? Let's say that you would wear those begotten for 7 days. And you had b'shikha for 1 day. Or let's say you were nitrabe yom echad v'nimshach shiva. Let's say you wore the begotten 1 day and you had the b'shikha for 7 days. I mean, would that be okay? The truth is that there's another girsa here which shows up elsewhere and which is important, which reads, Nitrabe yom echad v'nimshach yom echad rafilu sha'achat, and so on. Okay? In other words, that this din is not a din in a whole day, and it's not a, there is really no halacha that demands, but the sugya doesn't take it all the way to the end. There's no halacha that demands 7 days on either end. There's no halacha that demands both Riboy and Mashiach, obviously, because if it did, we'd be in bad luck, because when we hid the Oron at the time of Yoshio, we also hid the Pach of the Shemen HaMishcha. So how would we be able to ever have a Kohen Gadol or do Avodas Yom HaKippurim once we were in the second Beit HaMikdash? So, again, this is not the end of this drasha. So, but for our purposes, we want to make it clear that it's not Ma'akev Shiva, that's all. So, how do we know it? Talmud Lomar, Asher Yimshach Oto, Ve'Asher Yimale Et Yado, Mikol Makom. Therefore, the Torah stresses the Kohen, Asher Yimshach Oto, here in Achrimot, as long as there was Epis a Mashiach, as they would say, as long as there was Epis a Mimale Yadav, some type of Yimshach Oto, that's the Riboy. a Kohen that was either Mashuach or Malei Adav, somehow or other, that would be sufficient. So we know now that it's not Ma'akev L'Dorot. If you hold that what isn't Ma'akev L'Dorot is not Ma'akev in the Miluim, so then that meant that the Mashiach and the Milui Adav per se, the most essential element of the Miluim, actually wouldn't have been Ma'akev. Astounding. By the way, you took for granted a moment ago about the Mashiach. I mean, I'll let you get away with it for a moment, but why did you say it? Ashkan Riboy Shiva Lechatchila. We do see that there's a din of Riboy Shiva, yes. It says over there, Beferish in the Pasuk, Shivat Yamim Yil Beshem. But where did you get the idea that there's a Mashiach Shiva Lechatchila Minolan? Where does it say that you ever even require, even as a Lechatchila, seven times Mashiach of a Kohen on 7 days? Well, Ibai Dema Minitzik Kralamute, look, I mean, if we need a Pasuk that tells us we don't Ma'akev, so clearly it must have been a mitzvah to do it Lechatchila. Or Ibai Dema Diyamakro, Ubigdei HaKodesh Asher La'aron, Yulu Vanava Al-Kharav Limoshcha Behem. So you see that Mishicha, which is part of the Limashcha, even though Limashcha means Ligdula, but it comes from the sense of Mishicha. So the Torah seems to be comparing the Maleyet Yadam, which is the wearing of the Beged, to the Mishicha, the Shemana Mishka. Itkish Mishicha L'Ribui. So therefore the Torah is comparing the Mishicha to Ribui Begadim. Ma Ribui Shiva, Af Mishicha Shiva. Okay, so we have over here a machloket that would affect the dinim of smicha, the dinim of tnufa, the dinim of prisha, or the dinim of mishicha shiva or levisha shiva, as to whether it needs to be ma'akev l'dorot in order to be ma'akev for the miluim. But we haven't really talked about what they're really arguing in. I mean, it's just, so far we've just said, this is my opinion, this is your opinion. My taima demandeh omer kalakatu ben ma'akev. Where do we get the idea, Bichlal, that things in the Miluim are Ma'akev? Now, normally, as I pointed out before, when the Torah says something, we always take it as La'akev. The Torah says, this is the way that you're Mekayim the Mitzvah. So we can say, well, maybe be Mekayim some other way. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? But again, because we're dealing over here with Kachim, and Kachim, as the Rambam has taught us so many times, is fundamentally addressed to human psychology and needs to talk about the nature of avodah, unless you tell me specifically that this is ma'akev, I view it to some extent as, okay, you could do it this way. Yeah, it's a certain range. So how do I know it would be ma'akev? Om Reb Yitzchak Bar Bisna, Om Akra, V'yasita La'aron Ulevanav Kacha. And that, of course, has become the constant in the Israeli society. Kacha. You can't ask questions on kacha. That's the way it is. So everybody knows this Gemara, which is what the whole linguistics is based on. So they say kacha. That's what they mean. That's the way it is. When the Torah says kacha, it also means that's the way it is. So if I'm telling you, you have to do it in this particular way, kacha is ikuvo. The Torah puts it that way, it means it's got to be that way. Listen, im lav nevim ein b'nei nevim. No, remember, it's really true that language brings out the deepest subconscious assumptions of a society. It's a, this kacha is an understanding that that's the deepest meaning of kacha. This is the way it is. Okay, so tenach kol milta dechtiva b'hayinyan. I understand that in the Atat Tzaveh, which is where this Asita La'aron Olavanav Kacha, this is the way it's got to be, Kacholakshet Tziviti Otacha, very powerful statement, Shivat Yamim, and so on. That's in the Atat Tzaveh, and here is where we're going to get into differences. So those things that are indeed mentioned and introduced in the Atat Tzaveh, I understand the Torah is very makpid on, it has to be Kacha. However, what about milta de locativa b'hayinyana? Minolan. How do we know that there is ikuva about things that are not mentioned in Atat Tzaveh, but only appear later? For instance, it doesn't say anything about putting the Urim v'tumim into the Choshen in Atat Tzaveh. It does say to Richie,
Does say?
It's the Lord, Richie.
Does say?
It won't help you, Richie. We have more questions for you, Richie. Stand at attention. So how do we know that the description of putting the Urim V'Tumim into the Choshen that is mentioned in the Parsha of Tzav, how do we know that that would be Ma'akev, according to Man Yomar, who's learning out from Kacha, this halacha of Ikuva? Now, of course, you will ask, what do you mean it doesn't say it in Vatat Tzaveh? Of course it says it in Vatat Tzaveh. That's where we learn out all the dinim of the Begadim from. True. But Vatat Tzaveh split into two parts exactly the way Parshat Tzav is split into two parts. Vatat Tzaveh first describes the making of the Begadim, and indeed in the making of the Begadim it does very clearly say that you should put the Urim V'Tumim into the Choshen, but it doesn't say anything about doing that when you put the Begadim on Aaron. Whereas in Tzav, and that's the part of the Miluim, whereas in Tzav, it says it, and that is what Moshe did as he dressed Aaron. So would that be Ma'akev, or his only description of the Beged? So whatever. If it was there before, he put it in later. I mean, it's not part of the actual investiture, as in terms of Ikuva, perhaps. Or if you don't have an Urim V'Tumim that works, it wouldn't matter. Omer Nachumar Yitzchak, we learn it out from the fact that the words Petach Oel Moed occur both in V'atat Tzaveh and in Tzav. So there it says El Petach Oel Moed, and in Tzav it says Takriv El Petach Oel Moed. So that means that whatever appears in one appears in the other. If the Torah said Kacha in V'atat Tzaveh, it means Kacha in terms of Tzav, and there's no difference between what's written in one or what's written in the other, until it gets to a contradiction, of course. Then we got problems that we'll see later on. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi said, Rav Misharshi Omar, Rav Misharshi says that there is a repetition of a critical word that implies ikuva, albeit not kacha, in Tzav. And there it says, V'shamartem et mishmeret Hashem v'lo tamutu kichen tzuveit. That sounds pretty powerful. So keeping a mishmeret certainly seems to mean take awfully good care that this is the way it was told you to do. And that lashon of mishmeret Hashem is ikuva. Rav Ashi says, well, if that ain't ikuva, ki chen tzuveta yeshur ikuva, this is the way I was mitzuveh, and I should hope so. I mean, otherwise, what, we're talking through your hat? But the point of ki chen tzuveta means it's got to be chen, it's got to be like this and no other way. I wonder if one can get out of Yom HaDin HaGadol by just going to sleep.
That's why families because there's no reference again.
You want me to try and see?
I'm sure you will. It's an interesting approach. So we have three possibilities. Either we learn out Petach Ol Moed from Tetzav Tetzav, or we have either the Pasuk of Shamat Mitzmerish Hashem, as Rav Misharshi says, in Tzav, or we have the Kuchen Tzuveti in Tzav. Now, what we're about to do is very, very much a non sequitur, at least to the open concerns of our sugya, but the truth is that these words, or something like them, Kichen Tzuveti, occur four times. One time they occur in Tzav, but they occur three times in Shmini. And when Moshe Rabbeinu is discussing the tragedy that happened to Nadav Avihu, he keeps coming back to this theme of Kichen Tzuveti. Now we understand that something went wrong. Obviously, besides the death of Nadav Avihu, something went wrong in that Moshe was Dorosh, Darash, remember half of the Torah, Dorosh, Darash, about what? About why it was that the carbon of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh had been burned. And some type of strange machlokas is going on between Moshe and Aaron with a lot of sarcasm and so on between them. And Moshe keeps insisting, this is the way it was supposed to be done, this is the way it was commanded, and he repeats it three times. What do those three times mean? So the only reason we're doing this, again, on the surface, is because we talked about the meaning of Kichen Tzuveti back in the Tzivui of the Miluim Mitzav, and we're now interested in knowing what are the implications. They're very powerful words. Certainly Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't generally need to say on everything that he said Kichen Tzuveti, because otherwise we would suspect him of making it up himself. So therefore we look now into the tragedy where he's discussing with his brother whether this should have been done. So Tana Rabbanan, there it says, Vayidaber Moshe al Aharon vel al Hazar vel Itamar banav anotarim. So he speaks now to the remainders after the death of Nadav Avihu. Look, even though you guys are in a terrible state of mind, and you are all Onanim, you're here now in front of your dead child, your dead brother, nonetheless, kichut amincha noteret b'shei Hashem, you must continue to do the service, even though normally an Onan cannot serve. And you must go ahead and eat, even though an Onan doesn't eat. Take the mincha noteret b'shei Hashem and eat it. V'yichlu ha-matzot etzal ha-mizbeach. You have no choice. Achaltem otah b'makom kadosh. Kichen tzuveti. Okay, so when he says that kichen tzuveti, what did he mean? And then, when he's angry about the fact that something has happened to the dam, something has happened to the meat of the korban, they burnt it for some reason, he's shouting at them, "Ein lo huvad dam al hakodesh pnima. You should have eaten it. Achol tochlu ota. You should have eaten it. Kasher tziveti, the way I commanded you originally." Okay, what is that? What is that a reference to? And then when he says, "Kasher tziva Hashem," so at the end of the original discussion, where he was talking about the mincha, so there he says, he goes on to say the shoka truma, chazei atrufa, and so on. Ayalach alavanech mitcha chok olam, kasher tziva Hashem. Why the repetition? So kichen tzuveti, the first kichen tzuveti, obviously he's saying a shocking thing. He's telling them, despite the fact that you're onanim, you must eat it. So he has to say, "Look, I didn't tell you this. However, there is a mitzvah to eat now as a kohen gadol, even in a state of aninut. This is part of the tzivut. Unfortunately, I have to tell it to you now, but this was part of the tzivut." So that b'shat mas, that the so b'aninut yochlua. Kasher tziveti, that was when he was angry. He said, "I told you." So kasher tziveti means "I told you." Not kasher tziva Hashem, kasher tziveti. Kasher tziveti. Why did you get rid of the soyer of Rosh Chodesh? You should have eaten it. Achot tochlota. Kasher tziveti. Like I told you before, you're supposed to be eating the aninut. And then when he repeats, so that b'shat maaseh amarlan, that he was talking to them in the moment of the argument. Kasher tziva Hashem, he's saying, "I don't understand why you would have had any chashash about relying on me in this issue. What exactly went wrong? It was lo me elai ani omer. I wasn't saying this on my own. I was saying to you what I had been mitzvah on Har Sinai. What was your doubts?" The amazing thing is that he was wrong. See how easy it is. He was commanded to eat it ba'aninut. But as Aaron points out, and excuse me, you were commanded what, ba'aninut? The things that were being brought for the miluim. So the carbon that was being brought because of Shmini lemiluim, the soyer for Achatas, the first soyer that was brought by Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was the first of the Nisiim. Wonderful. Those were one time in history events. Kichen tzuveti, yes sir, we accept what you said. And indeed we took care of it and did it exactly as we were supposed to. But were you ever told by God to take the same steps about anything that was being done today, even though it's not part of the miluim? The Soyer Shel Rosh Chodesh has something to do with the miluim? The Soyer Shel Rosh Chodesh happens to be today is Rosh Chodesh. Did God ever tell you, because you never said anything about that, to eat something that's Kedushei Dorot? Even Baninut, even though normally that's not meant to be, and Moshe admitted that he was wrong. So after all of this shouting, "I am God's mouthpiece, and I'm telling you this is what God said," You see how careful you have to be. Nowadays we have thousands of God's mouthpieces, and very often wrong, but they're ready to tell you, Kichen Tzuveti, at any time. You have to be open to hearing that maybe that's a mistake. In any event, so we have a repetition three times, Kichen Tzuveti, in the most astounding way. I mean, it can't be a coincidence, no? That the Torah introduces this absolutely positive, clear sense of Kichen Tzuveti when Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong. It's astounding. Nowhere else. It's amazing. Om Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. Something is wrong, says Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, because you'll notice that Michnasayim ain't k'tuvim b'parasha. It's really weird. Is nobody wearing pants? It says everything else that they're wearing, not wearing pants. So, why is it left out of the parsha of the Miluim? Now, the truth is, however, Kishuhu Omer, Vizeh Hadavar Asher Ta'aseh Lahem L'Kadesh Otam. Note the Vav in the parsha of Ve'ata Tetzaveh. Somebody want to pass me the rifle, please? Note the Vav in Ve'ata Tetzaveh. The Vav connects what to do with the Begadim to the Parsha of what the Begadim were.
It's loaded.
It's loaded. That's great. Just in case.
She's also carrying.
Shoot out.
But it's a good thing we don't have that camera here. Just to you listeners overseas, there's two pistols on the table. So, the Vav, why is there a Vav? Isn't this an introduction of a new sugya? Zeh HaDavar Asher Ta'aseh Lahem. By the way, there's good historical grounds for this, as you know. They used guns in the Beit HaMidrash at earlier times. Anybody who leaves the door is going to be shot. And so on, right? I mean, the Milchamta Shel Torah sometimes reaches some serious levels. My God. What else should we talk about? Does anybody have mace?
That trumps my
that's it. So therefore the Vav clearly comes to attach with a Vav, which is the best way to attach things, a little hook. So you attach what was there before, which is the description of all of the Begadim, including the Michnasayim, to what you're supposed to be doing with the Begadim, which is the Miluim of the above Begadim. It would be irrelevant to the Urim Baturim. We dress them with the Urim. How do we know that the Achnasa is what's important for the... In other words, I understand the Begadim, but as far as the actions that I do with the Begadim, I wouldn't have known it from you. So Lavia Miklasayim. But not only the Miklasayim, but Lavia Sirita Ifa. Sirita Ifa, the Asirita Ifa, of course, is the Minchat Chinuch, or what became the Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. How the heck did the Asirita Ifa get here? Bishleim Miklasayim, okay. The Miklasayim appear Binyanei de Begadim. Asirita Ifa, how did you throw that in? It's amazing how you keep trying to get things under our nose here. But we catch you. We catch you every time. Asirita Ifa Minala. Ah, the Asirita Ifa, it's interesting, is also being learned from that word Vizeh, but not from the Vav of the Vizeh, but rather from Exereshav of the Vizeh. We learn it out from the introduction of the Chavitin is Vizeh Korban Aaron Uvanav Asher Yakrivu LaHashem Asirita Ifa. So in other words, what appears in the Parsha Vayikra later on about the Minchas Chinuch and about the Minchas Chavitim is meant to apply to the day of the Miluim. Okay? Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Minayin she'af mikra parasha ma'akev. How do we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu stood up at the Miluim, gathered everybody together, vayakim, and said to them, Zeh adavar she'tziva Hashem, and gives them over now the story of the Miluim, that if he hadn't done that, that the Miluim would not have been kosher, that you need to make an announcement in advance. Talmud lomar vayomer Moshe el ha'ida zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem afilu dibur ma'akev. The davar, the speech itself, is ma'akev. Of course, it's rather self-referentially kuva. This speech, but did that include the word this? Okay, so zeh hadavar asher tziva. Come on, you guys, I'm losing you, I'm losing you. The patient is fading, he's fading fast. What do we do?
Coffee!
Humor?
No. That would help? No. I doubt it. I think it may be a shot of adrenaline or something. Maybe. Keta. That would do it? That would do it. Okay. And here we finally get both to our contradictions, and the Gemara openly questions, why are we doing all of this? This is like, this description of Miluim took place once, never will take place again. What? Why are we worried about this so much? Ketzad Hilbishan. How did Moshe Rabbeinu dress Aaron and his children? Come on, man. Ketzad Hilbishan. My da'ava have. I don't care how he dressed them. He dressed them. I mean, what's the difference how he dressed them? It's no geya. Well, Ketzad Malbisham Latid Lavo. I mean, I assume when we rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, we'll have to go through a Miluim process. So how do we do it? You know, when they build the Beit HaMikdash, and Aaron and his sons come, I guess Moshe will be there too. Why don't you ask Moshe? So, Kishyavo, Aaron, Ubanav, Moshe, it's not really our responsibility, is it, to figure out how it is that we're going to do the Levisha? So this is called Hilchat HaMashiach. We don't need to paskin halachas for the Zman HaMashiach. Okay. When I'm saying Ketzad Hilbishan, it's because I have no choice. You see, the Torah contradicts itself. So wherever we find a contradiction, it's obviously meant to tell us something. That's the point of the contradiction. We have, therefore, no excuse for not coming to say, okay, so what does it mean? The contradiction occurs in the description of the Ketzad Hilbishan LeMizbar Kroi. How do we understand the Seder HaLevisha in order to properly understand what appears to be a contradiction in the Psukim? Now I'm going to ask your indulgence to pick up a Chumash, which I've brought as many as I could find to you. See if there's some extra ones over there. And now let's take a look now at the two stories. One in Tetzaveh. That would be Chof Tet. In the Perek Chavtet, in Shmot. And let's take a look very clearly what it says. If we start in Pasuk Dalit, Ve'et Aharon v'et banav takriv al petach ha'omoed, v'rakatzta otam b'mayim. Okay. So we have here Aharon and his children standing together. They've been gone into the mikveh. V'lakaktat ha'begadim, now take all of the clothes. What do you do with them? He'll bashtat Aharon. It says, dress Aharon, that's the same thing about the sons, with the ketonet, with the mi'al ha'ifot, with the ephod, the choshen, afaratulo b'cheshev ha'ifot, put the mitznefet on his head, put the tzitz now above the mitznefet, take the shemen ha'mishka, and so on. Now Aharon is finished. Next, ved banav takriv, bring his sons over, Vilbashtam kutanot, and now dress them. Put on their kutanot, v'chagarto tam avnet, Aharon uvanav, and put now the avnet on them. V'chavashta lahem migba'ot, v'aita lahem kuna l'chukat olam. Now, you'll notice a strange thing, that everything else was said about putting on Aharon earlier. Suddenly, when it comes to the avnet, it says, V'chagarta otam avnet Aharon uvanav. Keep that in mind, because it may prove to be a clue for what comes later. Because first it said, V'ilbashta et Aharon. Okay? Doesn't mention anything about the avnet. talks about all his other begotten and put it on him. Then it says, now bring your sons forward after you did the Mashiach. Then v'chagartam otam avnei Aharon uvanav. Fine. Now let's take a look in Tzav, in Perek Chet, in Vayikra, and find the equivalent pasuk there, which is pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayakrev Moshe et b'nei Aharon, vayalbishem kutanot, vayagor otam avnei, vayagbosh lahem migbaot. So everything here seems to be fine, right? We're going to do this to the, we do this to B'nai Aharon separately. But we also have the Pasuk before. In Pasuk Hey, Vayomer Moshe Leitah, Zeh Hadavar Shetziv Hashem Lasot, Vayikrev Moshe Et Aharon Avanav, Vayirchatz Otam Bamayim. So again, everything fits very well. Vayitin alav et akutonet, vayachor oto bavneit, yalbesh oto et amail, yasem alav et achoshem, yasem et abitznefet, then vayikach et shemen amishcha. So far, everything is fine. Vayimshach oto lekatsho, and then we get to our vayakrev Moshe et bnei Aharon. The problem, however, is, as the Gemara now points out, that pligivu bnei Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Yochanan, Chad Omer, obviously, as we just read, it's Aaron v'achakach banav. The Torah is saying very clearly, in both locations, take Aaron, and then, you finish with him, then go to his sons. So what's the question? And yet the other Mandi Omer says, no, Chad Omer, Aaron u'banav bevat achat. It has to be both of them at one time. Why is this? Because of the Bechagarta Otam Avnei Aharon Uvanav. In other words, this Mandi Omer has a problem with that Pasuk. If the Pasuk says, put the Avnei on them, Aharon Uvanav together, and mentions this after we already supposedly concluded the dressing of Aharon, then it seems to be telling us that the Chagira of Aaron of Anav was simultaneous. So how do we Aaron of Anav? So there seems to be now a contradiction. Was there Vechagarta Otam together, or was it Vayachgor Oto Bavneit, as it says over here in Tzav, where you notice how conspicuously that was left out in Tetzaveh. There was no v'chagarta oto avnei. Instead, there was v'chagartam otam avnei Aharon uvanav. So there seems to be a very glaring contradiction between the way we're told to do it and then the way that it seems that Moshe did do it. So how does it work? V'chad omer Aharon uvanav bevat achat. Abaye says that, let me just clarify, that the focus is on the problem of the avnei. I mean, when it comes to the ketonet u'mitznefet, everybody agrees, as we all just saw, that clearly in both locations it's Aaron first and then banav. Because bein b'tzava, whether we're talking about back in Atat Tzaveh, or bein b'asiyah, we're talking about in Tzav, in both cases it's consistent, Aaron kadim. Ki pligi b'avneit. The only machlokes is how to explain the contradiction of the avneit. Man diomar Aaron v'achakach banav. Dichtiv vayagor oto ba'avneit, v'hadar ktiv vayagor otam avneit. So first we have a mitzvah of chagira ba'avneit, and then it says vayagor otam. So apparently we're going to have to, of course, explain why it is that it would say one when it means the other, which we'll do in a moment. But here it says first in Tzav, first they did Aaron's avneit. And then they turned to the Bonim and they did their avneit. Whereas Man Yom Aharon Uvanav Bevat Achat, because in Ve'atah Tetzaveh it says very clearly, V'chagarta Otam Avneit Aharon Uvanav. Alright. How does each one explain the Pasuk that is the contradiction to his own position? So, L'man diomer Aaron ben Abu Patachan. How does the man diomer who says that v'chagarta otam avneit Aaron v'anav explain the fact that it's separated in thav? V'yachgor otov avneit v'hodakti v'yachgor otam avneit. Explain that. Omar lecha, he will tell you, I have an excellent explanation. And gentlemen, here we get into one of the fascinating issues that will be with us throughout the Masechta. What indeed is the relationship of the avneit of the Kohen Gadol to the avneit of the Kohen Hedger? For some reason, the Torah leaves very vague the construction of the avneit. What was the avneit made out of? We know what the avneit of the Kohen Gadol was made out of. It said all of the ingredients, all of the kelayim, sheish, bazar, tchelet, vargaman, it's made out of kelayim. We know that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur used an avneit that was made entirely out of linen. It was all boats. Entirely out of linen. Normally we view the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he's not doing the avodah of the day, he's doing the avodah of Yom Kippur particularly, as being dressed as a Kohen Hedyot. But is he really dressed as a Kohen Hedyot? Or is he dressed as a super Kohen Hedyot? Meaning, is the normal avneit of the Kohen Hedyot meant to be learned out of the Kohen Gadol's avneit? And in that, the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot are fundamentally interrelated in that they're joined through this avneit, which joins them in all of the big day Kohen Hedyot. Or, actually, is the Kohen Hedyot learned from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? And the Kohen Hedyot's avneit is entirely made out of boats. Now, this has to do with the whole fundamental relationship between Aaron uvanav, which is linked to the way that those begodim are common to Aaron uvanav. We need to know if they are in fact truly common, or does something change even in the arba begodim of a Kohen Hedyot when it comes to the Kohen Gadol? So this man Yomar says, here is where the Torah introduces that issue. By telling me that there's a chagirah avneit, both Aaron uvanav, and it's telling us that in fact they were dressed together. So why does it make the big deal about dressing them separately when it comes to the avneit? Must be to tell us they were two different types of avneits. So we need to learn that they were different. And yet, nonetheless, amazingly, even though everything else dressed separately, the one thing that they have in common in the act of dressing is the avneit, which is different. Isn't that amazing? So it's clear no matter how you look at it, the avneit holds the secret to the nature of the commonality of the dressing and dress of the Kohan. So ahu avneito shekohen gadol lo zehu avneito shekohen hedyot. And according to the other man, the Omar, Leman the Omar Aaron v'achakach banav. Why does it say v'chagartam otam avneit Aaron v'banav? He says, that's the whole point. Ahu kamash v'nav neto shekohen gadol zehu avneito shekohen hedyot. The reason that it puts the avneit together, even though lemaisa they weren't dressed together, is to tell me that the avneit is together in terms of its own construction. The avneit of a Kohen Hedyot is the equivalent of an avneit of a Kohen Gadol, and is in fact made out of kilayim, all of the ingredients, shesh, barzar, tchelet, the argaman. Even though he's a Kohen Hedyot, exactly. That's right. Either it's the same.
It's like a rank. It's different but the same. Is that what we're saying? Or am I really confused?
Belts are the same. Even nonetheless, mine is different than yours.
But the belt factor is the same. Yeah. So it's
right. Not really all that confusing, because just walk into a department store and you'll find many kutanot and many mikhnasayim, and many avneits. And not one shall be similar to the other, or that would be the end of our
economy. But yet they're all the same.
But yet they're all the same. Amazing insight.
That's the
point
that we're putting out. Yeah. Thank you. That's all. I want to make sure I did understand you correctly. It's a rarity, but you know.
Thank you. Okay. So now, the structure then of the two psukim, Vayachgor oto avnet, Vayachgor otam, Shema min Aaron v'chakach banav. But wait a minute. When you say, according to Ban Yomar, who says, we did it bevat achat, I mean, how many hands exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu have? Because he was the only one who was doing all of these things in the Miluim. So it would be quite a trick to buckle, so to speak, five belts on five different people all in one instant. How exactly did that happen? So, Bevat Achat Mimash Kachatla, how exactly was this done? No. Tzricha Da'aktim, when it says Bevat Achat, it doesn't mean simultaneously. It means Bevat Achat, that there was nothing in between. That's all that it means. So, in other words, we have two separate sets of the Begonim. Two separate ways of looking at the Begonim. So one man, the armor, says, okay, Aaron was dressed with all his begonim, but we left the avnet off. Then we brought the kids, dressed them with all of their begonim, left the avnet off. Then we have Aaron and his children standing together, and now we put on Aaron's avnet, followed immediately by each of the children's avnet, the four children's avnet. This time, Nadav Avihu were still alive. Whereas according to the other man, the armor, we complete dressing Aaron, everything, put on the Shemen HaMishkan, now turn to his sons and put them on everything. So it's a very different way of looking at it. But obviously, it doesn't mean that Moshe had to do it simultaneously. Omer of Yosef. Smicha ikvinayot. Lemad yom ha-kolakatuv me'akeh behem smicha ma'akavet. Lemad yom ha-davar shen ha-makavet ha-dorot en ma'akeh behem smicha lo ma'akva. Ulo dorot min olan de lo ma'akvet ha-tanya. V'samach v'nirtza v'chi smicha mechaperet alayin kaparay lo b'dam shen ha-marki ha-dam hu b'nefesh ha-kaper. Ma'atal melomer v'samach v'nirtza shima sal smicha shiorin mitzva. Ma'ala alav ha-katuv ki il lo kiper, but actually v'chiper. But in fact, v'kiper. Rav Papa Amar Prishat Shivai Kabina Liman Yom Kalakatuv Behem Ma'akim Behem Ma'akva Liman Yom Kalakatuv Behem Ma'akim Behem Ma'akva Liman Yom Kalakatuv Behem Ma'akva Ulo Dorot Minon And Lo Ma'akva From our Mishnah Mirik Terg Minikatani Matkinin Lo Koin Acher Tachtav Velo Katani Mafrishin Koin Acher Ravino Amar Ribu Yishiva Mishicha Shiva Yikabina Liman Yom Kalakatuv Behem Ma'akim Behem Ma'akva Liman Yom Kalakatuv Behem Ma'akim Behem Ma'akva Liman Yom Kalakatuv Behem Ma'akva Ulo Dorot Minon And Lo Ma'akva Tanya וכיפר הכהן אשר ימשך אותו ואשר ימלא את ידו לכהן תחת אביו. מה תלמוד לומר? לפי שנאמר שבעת ימים יהיו בשם הכהן תחת מבניו, אין לי אלא שנתרבה שבעה ונמשך שבעה, נתרבה שבעה ונמשך יום אחד ונתרבה, יום אחד ונמשך שבעה, or for that matter, נתרבה יום אחד ונמשך יום אחד מניין? תלמוד לומר שימשך אותו ואשר ימלא את ידו מכל מקום. Ashkechan ribo yeshiva lechatchila, Mashiach yeshiva lechatchila minalan. Iba itayim amitzuk kolamu itayv iba itayim adam akro ubigdei hakodesh asher la'aron avanav yulavanav la'aron yulavanav acharav limoshka behem ulamalei avamet yadam itkish mashiach al ribui ma ribui shiva mashiach shiva. My time in the man omer kolakatu behem ma'akev omer yitzuk bar bistro ma'akro v'yasita le'aron avanav kacha kacha ikuva. Tena ko milta de ktiva ba'ayin yana in atat tzave. Milta de lo ktiva ba'ayin yana and is only written in tzav min olan. Amra nach ma'yitra yolif petach petach. Rameshar shama, no. It says in tzav itself. Ushmar temet b'shmerat Hashem, which is likuva. Ravashi says it says in tzav itself. Kichen tzuveti, which is ikuva. Tana Rabbana, ki kein tzuveti kasher tziveti kasher tziva Hashem, ki kein tzuveti that you must eat it ba'aninut. Kasher tziveti, that he said b'shat ma'aseh, when he saw that the chatat of the Rosh Chodesh was ruined, Amar lehem. Kasher tziva Hashem, why didn't you rely on me? V'lo me'elai ani omer. Omri v'yazib Rebbe Chanina, mikhnasayim ein k'tivim b'parasha. Nonetheless, kishu omer v'zeh ha'davar asher ta'aseh lehem, l'kadesh otam lechahein, that includes the Mechnasai. Asirita Ifa as well. Wait a minute. Bishlam ben Chasai, Ktiva bin Yonah de Begonim, but Asirita Ifa. Why does that have to do with Vizeh Adavar? Ah, because Atya Vizeh Vizeh. This Vizeh, learn not from Vizeh Korban Aharon of Anav, Asher Yakriva LaHashem, Asirita Ifa. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai Minayin, Sha'af Mikra Parsha is even Makib. Tamen Lomar, Vayomer Moshe Laida, Zeh Hadavar Asher Tziva Hashem, Afilo Dibur Makib. Ketzad Hil Bisham. Ketzad Hil Bisham. Might I have a have it? No. Ketzad Mal Bisham Latid Lavo. Latid Lavo Nami. Lekishavo Aaron Vano. Umayshi Moam. I guess you can ask. I mean, Ketzad Hil Bisham Lamizbar Kroi. Pligiba B'nei Rebbe Chia, Rebbe Yochanan. Chad Omer Aaron V'achar Kach Banav. V'chad Omer Aaron U'vanav Bevat Achat. Omer Abaya, Biktonet U'mitznefet, that's not the problem. Kulei Amalo Pligi, the Aaron V'achar Kach Banav. Because whether you look in the Tzava and Atat Tzava, or you look in the Asi and Pashat Tzav, in both it's consistent that Aaron Kodim, Ki Polik Ba'avnet, Man Di Omer Aaron V'achar Kach Banav, Dichti Vayach Goro To Ba'avnet, and then we have the next Pasuk, Vayach Goro Otam Avnet, clearly separate. Was Man Di Omer Aaron V'achar Kach Banav, it says, Beferish V'chagarta Otam Avnet Aaron V'anav. And according to the Man Yomar, Aaron Avatachat, what does he do with the fact that it says Vayachkor Otam Avnet, and then separately writes Vayachkor Otam Avnet? Omer Lacha, now who is to teach me that Avneto Shekohen Gadol lo zehu Avneto Shekohen Hedyot? Uleman Yomar Aaron V'achakach Banav Aktiv V'chagarta Otam Avnet. Omer Lacha, no, that's the whole point. That's to teach me that Avneto Shekohen is Avnet Osher Kohen Hedyot. The differentiation between Vayachor Oto Avnet and Yachor Otam Avnet is to teach me that it's Aaron V'achar Kach Banav. But how is it possible to do Bevat Achat? Mimashkachat lo? Lo Tzricha doesn't mean literally. It means the Akdim. By the way,